All right, Ebony's here. Yeah. Last month, did you guys meet Jenny?
Sorry.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, I don't know.
Thank you, Grant.
Maybe we'll be staying in estimate. Should we have our mask on?
For the mayor's executive orders, we're required to wear masks.
Okay. I didn't bring mine. Am I going to?
City business. So, but you are a board member, and I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. I should have brought one. I did not think.
If you'd like, we can acquire one for you, but it's not mandatory. I don't know.
I don't feel, unless I'm really offending someone, then I am not going to. That's okay. Happy to. Yes, we can get going. Everyone's here, so let's go ahead and get going. Welcome to City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Daniel Odle, Chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me are other members of the BZA. At the table here to my right, and if you're on camera to the left, are our city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table here, the entrance behind me. And also, if you're online, would have been sent to you via email prior to the meeting. Pursuant to the BZA administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order: staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion, second, and then just further discussion among board members, and then finally a vote. Members of the public may address the board, and the following rules apply. Each person may speak for once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow for an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid any comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium, which is here or online, and speak directly into the microphone or speak clearly online. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of our decisions, our board's decisions, are made to the Knoxville City Council. A petition for such an appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. I will now ask Ms. Burke to call the roll.
Daniel Odle.
I'm here.
Rosenberg.
Here.
Don Horton.
Here.
Christina
Bowler. Here.
Ebony
James.
Here.
All right. We have a quorum. As first matter of order, we need to ask if anybody read the meeting minutes from last month, and we could approve those meeting minutes from July 20th.
Make a motion. We approve the minutes.
We have a motion. Can I get a second?
A second.
All right. We have a motion. A second. Ms. Burke, please call a roll call vote.
Daniel
Odle.
Aye.
Grant
Rosenberg.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Christina
Bowler. Aye.
Ebony
James. Aye.
All right. And that motion carries. Minutes are approved from last month, July. And our first application of the day is 8A21VA for 1301 Wilshire Road. And I believe that, let's see, who's here to speak to this issue? Edward or Lisa Schaus? Are you here online or here in person? Oh, Brian's here. All right. Please state your name and address for the record.
I am Brian Rowe. My address is 601 Kempton Road in Knoxville.
Okay, thanks. Please tell us about your variance request and the nature of your hardship.
Yes, I'm the contractor contracted to build a 24 by 30 carport for Ed and Lisa at 1301 Wilshire. We've worked on several different configurations trying to figure out some way to give them a carport that will allow them to protect themselves from the weather with their wanting to age in place and some of those types of things and health issues. They need to have some way to cover their vehicles. And so we looked at several different options to stay within the side setbacks and weren't able to do that. So we're requesting a variance to to go from the 5 foot, which is allowed on the side setback for a detached carport, to 2.6 feet. Basically, we're getting that exactly right in there so that, number one, we can get them the size they need. Number two, not put one of the corner for the carport almost in the middle of one of the driving lanes. And third, allow them to have enough room to get out of their house. There's a small slope out of the house to the driveway. So all those pieces have made it difficult for us to stay outside of that 5 foot requirement. So obviously we would have preferred to do that. It takes time to go through this process and all those things, but we want to try to get this, we're requesting this variance so they can build this carport for them.
Sure. All right, thank you. I need to ask two things. Are there any further comments from the city other than what was sent earlier?
No additional comments.
All right, and I need to ask if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this. If you're here online and you're speaking opposition, please raise your hand on the platform so that we can move you over to speak. And I don't think anyone's here. Nope. Speaking opposition. Ms. Burke, anyone raising their hand? I don't see anyone.
No.
Okay. Doesn't look like anyone is here to speak in opposition, which is great. Any questions and comments from the board? You said that there's a small topography, a small slope coming out of the house. Is that what it
is? Yes.
Where's it coming from? Sorry.
It's about an 8 to 12 inch drop coming from their house, about 3.5 feet out, concrete sloping down. So, you know, one option would be for them to add on to their driveway and make it wider, but that would cause some problems with that, making that all work.
Okay.
I don't have a diagram to show that.
Sure, but basically your driveway is coming up from the street, and you're saying the slope is like, if you're coming up on the driveway, it's on the right or on the...
On the right.
On the right. Side. Okay, so... Okay.
So the driveway starts about 4 feet out from the house. So we're basically going to have about 20... We'll cover the driveway in about 3.5 feet from there over to the house.
The drive there is existing is there because of the slope.
It's there where, because of that slope. Yeah, slope.
That's where the drive is located, because of that slope.
Correct. That's correct.
You said the carport is going to be detached.
It is.
How far off the house is it?
They have an overhang of about 2 feet. So we're gonna leave it about 6 to 8 inches away from the house so they can still get weather protection, but not have an issue with attaching it. And I don't know, I believe that if we attached it, it would be a 8 foot minimum setback. So that's one reason why we didn't do that. And one other note I did want to mention, we've gone through several iterations of this and the zoning folks have been very patient with us, but I did have a letter from the neighbor that this most affects. When we were at 4 feet on our setback, we had to go back and get a survey, and it actually ended up being 2.6 feet that we needed. But I was unable to get another letter from her. She's been in the hospital for about 3.5 weeks or in, have some illness. So she said she's okay with it, but we don't have documentation of that. So I don't have a piece of paper to show it, but she says that, and I can certainly try to provide that at some point if I need to.
And again, the reason for not attaching it?
It's been a long process. One of the reasons is if we attach it, it bumps that 5 foot setback to an 8 foot setback. So we're only asking for a little under 2.5 foot variance here versus the, I believe maybe the building department knows this. There was another issue related to attaching it that we wanted to be careful about as well, but I don't recall that often.
So this is the least amount of variance for what's feasible.
That's correct.
Okay. Other questions, motion?
I'll make a motion we approve item 8-A-21-VA.
I will second that motion, if nothing else, for a matter of process, but this makes sense to me for existing condition of the driveway and the fact there's some slope, and it seems like they've worked it through to get the minimum variance. I'd like to see a letter, but I'm not gonna, for me, that's not a huge deal on this.
Okay.
The other house is set off pretty decently to the other direction, the neighboring house that this would affect, so. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on this? Hearing none. Ms. Burke, will you please call a roll call vote?
Daniel Arnold.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Tom Morton.
Aye.
Dana Bowler.
Aye.
Edmund
James. Aye.
All right, motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you for your time and your service.
Chair.
Just confirmed with our legal counsel, and because we're in person, you don't need a roll call vote.
Oh, really?
You can just, we're all here.
Oh, we can just vote now?
You can just vote.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Save about 10
minutes. That'll save a second. I guess I thought because, well, yeah, okay, cool. All right, next item, 8C21VA. It is 3001 Knoxville Center Drive. You're here to speak to this issue, this request. Here we go. And while you're coming up, are there any further comments other than what was sent earlier? Okay, thanks.
No further comments.
Yeah, feel free. Name and address for the record, please, and who you're working with, and the nature of the hardship in your application.
My name is Richard Graves, 550 West Main Street, Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, CB Properties. Just FYI, also available by Zoom are various team members of the applicant. That includes Mike Finch. He is the principal electrical engineer. Justin Kababic, forgive any mispronunciation. He is the engineer of record. David Mancuso is an architect on this project, and Jennifer Brown is the project manager. This is an application for variance relating to the development of the former Easttown Mall property as a last mile e-commerce distribution center. The two specific variances we are requesting is first a reduction from the blanket 20 foot height limitation for light poles to increase that 8 feet to 28 feet. And the second one we are requesting is substituting allowing a 90 degree cutoff angle for luminaires from the light poles instead of the 75 degree limitation imposed by the zoning ordinance. Now, this is a very large piece of property that has sat idly by with this investment over the last decade. And so I think given the size of it and the amount of capital required to develop it, it was recently rezoned from commercial to industrial to allow development as a e-distribution center. And so now I think the history of the property shows that absent its development is that it's just not developable for as anything else. As for the specifics on what we are requesting and why we're requesting it, first with the 8 foot height increase for the light poles, we have included in our materials a letter from Michael Bench, the electrical engineer. And in general terms, this project is going to involve vehicle traffic, sometimes trucks in excess of 13 feet. And so to provide for a safe passage for the trucks and their organization, there needs to be adequate light distribution around them. And a 20 foot pole by itself is just not going to be high enough to allow light to adequately distribute around 13 foot trucks. The project developer has national standards for 28 foot poles. Those would allow adequate light distribution. Absent this variance request, even if the applicant doubled the number of light poles of 20 feet, that would be inadequate for two reasons. First, it would interrupt the traffic flow. And second, it still would not allow for adequate light distribution around these 13 foot trucks. So, I think there's a hardship there and necessity, and that is a very modest, least restrictive means. I would also add that this board last year approved variances from the same 20 foot limitation, I believe for to allow for 39-foot poles and 37-foot poles, and we're well beneath that. On the second specific variance request for the cutoff angle, the zoning ordinance mandates a cutoff angle of 75 degrees or less. The light poles of this project will be designed to have controls and glare shields to reduce the cutoff angle, but we're still requesting the variance in case that isn't feasible. And it's my understanding that this has become a relatively common request for a variance from developers within the city. I would, much like the previous applicant, I can represent to the board that we have reached out to the principal of a neighboring apartment complex owner, asking if there's any objection to this request. And he has orally said to us there is no objection. I don't have anything in writing for the board, but I can share that. You know, I think with that, I would like to reserve the balance for my time, just pending any questions or objections. But otherwise, we have team members here available to answer specific questions as well.
Sure, absolutely. Let me go ahead and ask for process if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this request.
Sure.
Go ahead. If there's anyone here online, go ahead and raise your hand so we can see that you're also going to speak.
Thank you. Kevin Murphy, 4508 Murphy Road. I'm here on behalf of Scenic Knoxville and the Alice Bell Spring Hill Neighborhood Association. First, actually, support the request of the variance of allowing light poles to be higher, and then also the increase in the cutoff angle. Scenic Knoxville was pretty involved in the lighting ordinance updates that went into the recode ordinance, so the ones that we're currently working with. I think the lighting ordinance is a good start, but there are some implementation challenges with it, so I think it's actually ripe for an update. We've talked with some lighting engineers, and we understand that as an example, the 75 degree cutoff demonstration compared to 90 degrees can actually be really hard from an engineering standpoint to calculate and then certify that you're in compliance with. So there's absolutely some things that you can do there. And we also understand that the light poles need to be higher for a large parking truck lot. So generally, we're okay with that. We understand there's some tweaking that should be done there. My concern then is really that we've got represents a light trespass across property lines. And that's where we think possibly a condition to approving the variance would be appropriate. There is a statement in the city zoning ordinance that talks about light trespass being allowed of up to 1 foot candle. And I am really sure that 1 foot candle was a typing error or copy paste error when the ordinance was written. 1 foot candle is about the light level that you get from twilight. It's not exactly very dark. Point is what probably we think, what was meant in our drafts that we suggested was 0.1-foot candles, 0.1-foot candles. And that's more like, it's still more than what you get from a full moon, but it is a smaller amount. But I wanted to get, actually provide a handout, a couple of pages from the model lighting ordinance, which came about from the Illuminating Engineering Society and Dark Sky Association. And they specify what's called some lighting zones. And I highlighted in the one that you got lighting zone 2, which is moderate ambient lighting. And that's like for moderate or multifamily residential use of institutional residential churches. That's like a lighting zone category that be applied when you've got some residential high density next to it. And then farther down, the model lighting ordinance has a section that limits to offsite impacts, and it talks about a vertical lumens on a vertical surface being less than illuminated per table F, and table F, which is kind of on its own. It's got lighting zone 2. It says 0.3 foot candles. So, all right, so we've got a model, a dark sky model lighting ordinance that kind of says, well, if you're adjacent to, you know, multifamily, maybe 0.3 foot candles. The next one I also included in your handout is from the LEED lighting designs. And they use the same lighting zone ordinance, or the lighting zones from the model lighting ordinance. And on the very last page, if you go through like a calculation, they suggest for LEED standards, a lighting zone two should be a vertical luminance of 0.1 foot candles. So that kind of gives some idea of, you know, where we're coming from when we say, well, maybe a condition that allows you to 0.1 foot candles measured across the property line. Anyways, so cutting to the chase, we're suggesting that we do support and understand the reason for the variance. So that makes sense. You think that there's a reason to mitigate it though, which might be to, and you might want to condition or mitigate the impact of that, granting that variance, to limiting light trespass at the property line near residential developments to 0.1 foot candles measured on vertical plane from 0 to 33 feet above the highest luminaire, which is a standard that LEED and some others go with. So anyways, that's a, we suggest adding that condition on to approving the variance. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
This is Richard Graves
again. Yeah, go ahead.
So I certainly appreciate the concern and input about the light trespass. I do think it's just important to keep in mind two things. First, boards of zoning appeals are authorized to grant relaxations from the code's requirements in areas where a hardship requires it. Boards of zoning appeals are not authorized to increase the standards set forth in the zoning ordinance. So I think just from a basis, there's no legal authority from this board to increase the requirements set forth in the zoning ordinance. And the application anticipates that we will meet that 1 foot candle requirement set forth in the ordinance. Second, I also appreciate the concern that this may have just been a typo in the zoning ordinance. And I think that's something that could be addressed, but that should be addressed through the proper channels. I would suggest starting with the Metropolitan Planning Commission to a petition to change the text of the ordinance to reflect that. I'm very well familiar with the Court of Appeals case from this past April that reaffirmed the principle that, you know, statements after an ordinance has been enacted about what the true intent was, those are entitled to very little weight in interpreting the ordinance. And the ordinance that stands as 1 foot candle, we intend to meet that. So for those reasons, we ask that you grant this request, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. All right. Rich, before you go anywhere, there may be questions. I don't know. Are there any questions from the board?
Yes.
Yes, there are.
I'm not sure I agree, Kevin, that it's a lighting zone two or lighting zone three because of all the other development around that. It could fall under lighting zone three. But why is a uniform height for the poles? I understand when the where the truck traffic is, but on the perimeters where it looks like it's just vehicle parking, you could reduce the height of the poles. And the tall poles along where the apartments are on the hillside, you're going to be shining straight into their windows because they're up at the level of the housing units. So has it been discussed about lowering the height around the perimeter and reducing the light trespassing simply by doing that?
I would refer this question to Mike Bench. He is the electrical engineer for the project.
Is Mike on there?
I just saw his name.
His name is on there.
And then his hand, I see a hand. There it is.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yes. We can hear you now. Very good.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. I'm just getting used to this Zoom not being there in person.
Sure.
Yeah, the fixtures that are being supplied around the perimeter have backlight cut off, so there is very little to no light trespass going backwards. All the light is being pushed forward. Anything that's close to a property line, we have designed it that way so that the backlight cut off. If you go down a couple pages on the cut sheet there, just scroll down if you don't mind. Right there. If you go to, if you go to the bottom right hand side, that's a backlight cutoff. You can see that it has almost nothing that goes behind it. All the light is thrown down and forward. So we're going to be just behind that pole. We're going to be at that 0.1 foot candles based upon this information in this cut sheet. So I don't think that we're going to have a lot of glare going into those residences.
What is the bug rating on the fixtures and
I'm sorry, I'm not sure. I don't know what that
the standard backlight uplight glare is a standard for rating the fixtures.
I understand what you're asking. I just don't know what it is for this particular fixture.
Okay.
Peter?
Yeah. I'm just looking at, I heard the concern that there would be direct light in there, and I'm looking at the topo maps on KGIS.
Yeah.
It looks like Knoxville Center Drive is right at 1020, and the leading edge of the apartments above are at 1060. So it appears to be a 40-foot elevation differential. So what are we asking for? 28 foot?
Yeah.
28 foot poles, correct.
An 8-foot difference.
So I'm not sure that it's actually going to be shining in there, but just for context.
And thank you for that clarity. I had the same thought. I was wondering. Okay. Are there any other questions or?
Yes. What was the hardship again for the reduction or the increase in the cutoff angle?
Sure. Both of these variances are necessary for this project to work. And this particular parcel is probably one of the largest, if not the largest parcel sitting in Knoxville that has just had no investment over the past 10 plus years. So just the state of the market has shown that, absent a project like this, which is very capital intensive and thus is very limited to what can be done, there's really not going to be a productive use of land at this location in the absence of a distribution facility like this.
So is the hardship, is it like using a 75 degree cutoff is not financially feasible?
Well, just from an electrical engineering standpoint, I can let Mike speak to this further. It is very hard to guarantee a 75% cutoff at all times. But Mike may want to speak to the challenges with the 75 cutoff.
Sure. Can you guys still hear me?
Sure.
Okay, making sure. With a 75 degree cutoff, if you could picture in your mind the angle that the light goes out and away from the pole is shorter as opposed to if it was to a 90 degree cutoff angle. So not having as much throw from each of the fixtures would require significantly more fixtures to be installed. And then as we were talking before, that would include possibly putting fixtures in drive lanes and so on and rearranging the whole or parts of the parking layout.
If I'm understanding that right, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but it's an interpretation of the efficiency and of the layout for the property that allows for turning radiuses, parking, length of trucks, all of that added up together into how that lot's going to be used. And more light poles makes the layout difficult to do. Is that?
I think we're saying the same thing.
Correct.
To re-put it in other words, like if we increase the number of light poles, there still may not be adequate light to get on the trucks, and that would also throw the patterns of the trucks into doubt, which could upset the project as a whole.
That's a much better hardship.
Yep.
I'm going to make a motion to approve item 8-C-21-VA based on the circumstances of this project. I don't agree that
this is the only thing that could go on this site, I don't think that's a compelling argument for why we need to approve this variance. Although I do agree that we have issues with our zoning ordinance as it relates to lightings. I think we've seen several of these particular applications, and I think this is something everyone can agree needs to go back to Planning Commission for revisions. So I would like to add that as part of my motion, or somehow put that to the in the record that we need to keep this back to MPC to be improved upon. But I'd like to make a motion we approve this item.
I'll second it.
You have a motion and a second. Any other comment or question from the board? Okay, hearing none, then we'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. 8C 21 VA is approved as submitted. Thank you very much. All right. Next up is 8F 21 VA. And that is for 6202 Westland Drive. And Betty McKeehan. Let's see, who's here to speak to this particular variance request? All right. I don't see anyone here in the room. Is there anyone online here to speak to this? And just while we're working that out, is there any further comment from the city on this request?
Not at this point. There are some flood issues and things that I mentioned that you may have questions, and Josh
sure. is fully aware. All right. Ms. Burke, did we find somebody to speak to this issue online? All right, there's no one here.
Hello.
All right. For the sake of process, with nobody raising their hand online, I'm going to make a motion to postpone this request to our what comes after August, September meeting 2021.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. I'm just making sure nobody's going to raise their hand late, because I'd hate to move on. And
but we want to move it to the end.
We can move it to the end of the agenda.
Yeah.
And,
she may have thought this was pretty self-explanatory. I'm not sure. Okay. Do you want to hear from city engineering and how this floodway impacts the use of the property?
Yes. Yeah, we can do that. What?
Well, are we gonna vote on it today?
Can we vote in her absence?
Yeah. Historically, I have had pause to let the city present for someone.
We're not,
because there's a representation thing in my mind that goes along with that. That's why I would hesitate. But I'm not. This is also, it's not the end of the world to hear it. To hear
this might just be adding context to what you're seeing.
Okay,
you might want to ask city engineering how the floodway does impact the use of the property.
Which we can do. Ms. Burke, there was no notice from them that they weren't going to show up for any reason or anything. Okay.
Well, I mean, I could try and call her if you wanted to move it to the end of the... I think she's of age, and I think this home is for her husband.
Okay.
I think that there are some issues there. So I'm not sure that she's familiar with all of the processes. So
sure.
I wouldn't mind making the phone call and
see if she wanted to jump on. Let's go ahead and table my motion, and I'll just let's go ahead and let's hear from city on what the flood issues are and go from there. That'd be good.
Yeah. The floodplain on this property is quite extensive. It does cover a good portion of the property. What you're seeing there on the screen and the yellow stuff. So what's hatched is the floodway. However, the floodplain extends to most of the rest of the property, even over to the yellow. So there's a little bit of that that is not in there. So we would recommend that majority of the structure be built outside of that to help them and us. With FEMA requirements, it's for their embedment to be outside of that floodplain as much as possible. I don't think it's impossible at this point.
You could scroll down to the site plan.
Yeah, this rose. Okay.
I think it will kind of illustrate. Yep, right there. And zoom in just a bit.
There's a drainage easement.
So they want to be right up on the property line. Is that
the request? Is to reduce the front yard setback
to 44 feet.
And so there's There is a small portion of the property that is out of the floodplain itself. You notice there's a 500-year floodplain boundary line. It's kind of notated in the upper left corner. And then you can follow that line around through there. But where the exclusive permanent access easement kind of comes in, how the driveway is going to be accessed, there's a void there that's not in the floodplain. And so I think their goal is to try to keep the house up as far close to that exclusive permanent access as possible and down away from the floodway, as well as other things like the buffer zone that's restricting that use that's for that site.
I see the 500-year floodplain up upper left, but that line kind of, where does that continue to wrap around? Or does it, what am I missing?
Why don't you go up there and point to four?
Yeah, I can do that. So the flood 500 a year, according to this, it comes down through here. And then it comes back. I was looking at for KGIS. I believe it's going to end up being more of this line through here. It comes back in parallel kind of with the 100 year. It kind of comes in pretty tight parallel with that. So there's a good little section here that's out of that. And so it's kind of the high ground is in this little cubby. You want to think about that. The other thing that's, I guess, probably also more related to the setback that Scott was referencing too is on Westland itself. I believe with intersection improvements and other things, that property line moves over. And with, I don't know if we have an aerial for the street for the intersection out there. For a right-hand dedicated turn, that improvement for those right-of-way, I'm not sure of the timing of these improvements, but I would assume that is associated with this, which is, I guess, creating that setback. Is, if I'm Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, it's coming more from this
point, it's right,
not from this point.
Correct. It's coming from the closer end point.
We may need to go back to the house layout, the pinch point is from here to here. Mm-hmm. The Scott, they're okay on this.
Yeah.
So the closest point, the variance is for that point, if that makes sense. Any other questions or clarification on that?
Show me the home boundary real quick, just to make sure I understand what I'm looking at. I think I do. The line for the home, the building itself is proposed home.
Yeah, right above goes, proposed. Yep. There's the structure outline is here.
Yeah.
So that is it 44 feet that they're asking for? Is shown
right there
from this point.
Are they extending the home down to? Is that long?
Yeah. Yes.
That is part
the
of the
house itself is going down to this
through,
point.
To there.
Yeah.
That's in a 100-year floodplain right there or not?
It is in the 100-year floodplain.
Okay.
And you are allowed to build into the 100-year.
Okay.
They are not encroaching into the no-fill zone inside of the 100-year with this current configuration.
Okay.
So. So the structure would have to be elevated properly for FEMA.
And they can get driveway access over on this side that close to the intersection in the right hand.
Looks like they tie into the.
Yeah, they're coming from the west.
The driveway is coming in.
The shared driveway.
So it's a shared driveway.
Through here and across, and that permanent access easement that's shown on the other one goes right through their circle drive and connection.
I see that now. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I believe that's their current home there. They own that one. They own both lots. And I think this is a second home for her husband, who I think is going to be more accessible or more friendly for his age. So, but they own both. So they've given the access for the driveway.
Not much area where it can fit otherwise.
There's not. I'm going to withdraw my motion from earlier for the sake of conversation with the board.
Second.
Okay. Our applicant, she's hey Scott, our applicant, she's kind of up in years.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it? It's not required that the.
You have to be present.
Yeah.
It's not required.
Okay.
It's not required.
It's pretty standard.
You know, I'm kind of of the thought process for the sake of our. If the board was comfortable, and I'm asking for feedback because she's up in years, I'm not certain getting her on the phone is going to do much for us. Is kind of what I'm thinking. I will make a motion to approve 8F21BA as it's submitted on the basis of a lot of stuff: topography, easements, floodplains that complicate that property makes where they're putting it. I think her request is reasonable, especially because the driveway is coming off of an easement not going out to the street. That was something I was missing earlier. So I'm comfortable with making a motion to approve that.
Second.
The motion in a couple seconds. Any further question or conversation from the board? Hearing none, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None opposed. 8F21BA passes as it's submitted. Thank you. All right, next up is 8G21BA, 700 Eleanor. Amy Sherrill, are there any further comments from the city other than what we saw earlier?
No.
Listen to us?
No. Okay.
Perfect. Amy, please name and address for the record and the nature of your hardship.
Yeah, absolutely. Amy Sherrill, and address is 1324 Granger Avenue. The nature of the hardship here is we're asking for an increase permitted building coverage as well as the impervious surface coverage to allow for an addition to an existing home. It is not in the historic overlay, but it's immediately adjacent to all the other parts of it. The couple who purchased the home are a retired couple. They are passionate about preserving and trying to be respectful and keeping the historic neighborhood, even though it doesn't fall in keeping. They have one restroom and it is here in the center of the home. There's absolutely no way to make any modifications or adjustments to that from an accessibility standpoint. So part of this addition will accommodate a new bathroom added. I think we've got a plan there to the rear of the building, as well as some on floor level storage. Anyone who lives in these old homes know there's no such thing as the closet. So this is providing them access to that, as well as a stairway into a second level in the addition itself to accommodate an additional bedroom. So, and like most homes in the area, many of them exceed the 30% coverage. I took just a couple of samplings, and especially the corner lots, it ranges somewhere between 52, 56, and in some cases even 80% coverage. So I don't feel like the request is completely out of line with other cases of what we see.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? Don't see anybody there. Anybody online, please raise your hand if so. Nobody online, they're all gone. All right. Comments, questions from the board?
Where does the 30% coverage come from? It seems like a very low number for historic neighborhood. I wonder if
it was discussed during the recode process.
Yeah.
And through the various bodies that reviewed, that was the number that was landed upon.
Yeah.
Can you remind us what substandard lot means? We used to call it the substandard, doesn't really. No,
that's the size of lot.
We used to call
that's
these
a
things
pre-recode
small lots of
record. Term.
Yes. They don't exist anymore.
They don't exist. It doesn't come into play. You have a legal lot of record right now.
Mm-hmm.
got a lot that small, your percentage goes up very quick.
I don't see anything that's 30%.
Which is why I get confused every time about small lots of record. And we used to call them small lots of record, but then they changed the floor in recode of what qualifies. But that
during recode, we now recognize those smaller lots that were typically 5,000 square foot.
Right.
But we typically see variances for the coverage though, correct? For those particular lots.
We seem to see
a lot of those.
Even in this screen, you can see quite a few that are in the ballpark of what we're requesting or more.
More so.
And more so, that's like almost 100%.
Okay. Sorry, I don't fully understand where the addition area is. Could you explain that maybe? Is it, there's like a change in the line weight maybe from gray to? Yeah, if you can just go, really there's subtle. Actual floor plan view in here. So this door here is in the existing exterior wall. So we're actually, and then this was a former porch that was converted to basically a little breakfast nook.
Okay.
So we'll be extending the floor surface there. That's how that all connects in. And part of the interest here in accommodating the expansion into the upper floor is to avoid modifying the existing roof line and look of the home as it currently exists. So the only way to really do that in this particular home is to accommodate it in the addition itself.
Is in order to adhere to the guidelines, you just have to go straight up with it. Is basically what you're
the
saying.
The way this particular home and the roof form is, there's not a way to make use of, you know, an existing window or gable without adding something new.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a neighborhood like this, to me, this is a better approach, doing it as a full addition as opposed to trying to cut new holes in the existing form.
Okay.
I think there's a side view as well. So you can see there's an existing smaller peak, but that's not, I can't even stand here. So this comes up just here further to make that truly a livable upper story.
Okay.
I'll make a motion. We approve item 8-G-21-VA. I think it's a reasonable request, particularly in the context of this neighborhood. I can find very few lots, homes that meet the 30% threshold. So I think this fits within the character of the neighborhood. It's a corner lot. It's an improvement. Reasonable request.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll call a vote. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
All abstain.
Okay, we have one abstention. Motion carries 4-5. Item number, what number is that? 8G21VA is approved.
Thank you.
All right. 8, that's an 8I21VA. Dominion Development Group for Parkside Drive. You would, sir, please state your name and address for the record. Let me ask real quick, are there any further city comments from other than what was sent to us prior?
Nope, no further comments.
Very good. Name and address for the record and your hardship, please, sir.
Sean Chalmers, 3834 Sutherland Avenue, with the Mini Group. We're looking at developing some apartments in Parkside Drive, Turkey Creek area. And as part of the city looking at our project, it was determined we needed to have a traffic impact study. And the results of that were a recommendation to put in a traffic signal. You can see here roughly is where our entrance will be. So part of that will be having a left-hand turn lane, right-hand turn lane, which requires our driveway to be wider than the standard 30-foot requirement. And I believe it also affects the curb cut. So our hardship is basically the requirement of having the traffic lights and then the code restriction, that 30-foot There is precedent for this. If you kind of go down Turkey Creek or Parkside Drive, rather, there almost every single intersection that's going to be similar to ours has a defined left-hand and right-hand turn lane, and thus has the wider driveway. That's it. It's fairly simple.
That's it. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? Nobody? Anybody online? All right, very good. Questions and comments from the board?
To be oriented, across the street from this is that the hospital or is it the Walmart?
Yeah.
Okay, I see. So your intersection will align with that intersection.
Correct.
And that's currently, there's no traffic signal there right now, so there'll be a new signal to accommodate that.
Part of the requirements, we're going to be designing crosswalks as well.
Yeah.
And how does the traffic signal impact what you're doing?
It basically allows residents from the community to safely turn left.
Okay.
So just
and then that forces your driveway to be wider, you're saying.
Correct. Yeah. If you go back to that plan to have basically the separate turn lane there, it just makes the driveway wider.
It's really not a driveway, it's a street, basically.
In essence, it's like
really
a
driveway. It's like a road.
Yeah.
Street,
yeah.
Okay. Any other question or comment? Hearing none, is there anyone like to make a motion on this?
I'll make a motion. We approve item 8-I-21-VA. I think they have to do this to accommodate the turn lane, which I think is the safest, or in the interest of public safety, is required.
The motion is second, based on safety and their layout and where the property lies. Any further comment? Hearing none. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? I'm aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. 8-I-21-VA is approved. Thank you. All right. 8J-21-VA. 525 Henley Street, Catherine Greer. And let's ask real quick if there's any other city comment other than what was sent earlier.
No further comments.
No further comment. Thank you. Catherine, please state your name and address for the record.
Catherine Greer, and it's 525 Henley Street.
Tell us about your hardship, please, and about your application.
Okay. So this is for the full Knoxville Marriott conversion of the Holiday Inn property. The request is for a reduction in the flagpole setbacks from the property line. This building is built over an existing parking decking structure, and so we're trying to maintain clearance free of the parking deck without putting flagpole structure kind of penetrating the waterproofing membrane. You can see the line in red is actually the edge of the parking deck below the surface. And so the intent is to keep our three flagpole locations free from that structure. And the structural engineering and structural group wrote a narrative kind of explaining the hardship. So right now the offset is meant to be 5 feet and we're at 2'3" for this location. So we are kind of in a little bit of a pinch point there. Also, since this is the parking deck structure, there's a precast existing double T system that goes through there. So we're just trying to not compromise it and touch it. So if we were to move it over the 5 feet, you're kind of like directly on top of that structure. So this is actually all infill at grade on this area that kind of feeds out towards Henley Street. So the request is just to reduce the requirement to 2'3" as opposed to 5 feet.
All right. Thank you very much. Is there anyone here opposed to this variance request? Don't think there is. Any comments or questions from the board?
We can just anchor down some sandbags.
Yeah, just fall on the end of the street, no problem. They're tired of looking at this project. We've worked with them extensively on the new rework and pulling the traffic flows in. So hopefully this is the last thing we have to do on this one.
Well, based on the difficulties of penetrating and the waterproofing, I see that this is a logical place for these to land, and I would make a motion to approve. What is it? Item 8J21DA, as it's written.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Not hearing none. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No one is opposed. Item 8J21VA passes as submitted. Thank you very much. Okay. Any further thing for our board to consider today? None. Meeting is adjourned.
Someone did put a sign there. Without understanding the parking structure was there about 2 years ago.
What now?
Someone didn't realize the parking structure was there.